Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Well, the fathers teach us that in the fall there was not just one fall, but that there were three. First, in the first fall, the disobedience with Adam and Eve partaking of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, we fell into death, as was promised. For if you eat this of the fruit of this tree, you will surely die. So death entered the world. And then through death came sin, which is our constant burden, or the constant burden of the original transgression. And through sin, we then become enslaved to the passions, or the demons, which rule the passions. And there was only one way that we could be redeemed, and that was and reconciled to God, and that is through Christ. So how did Christ come into the world? Well, we're here this morning celebrating the means by which salvation came into the world. The Blessed Virgin, actually, I think that it's best if I just read the Synoptarian from this morning, just as kind of an introduction. Leading the procession into the temple were the virgins with lighted tapers in their hands. Then the three-year-old Most Holy Virgin led by her father and mother. The Virgin was clad in vesture of royal magnificence and adornments, that as was befitting the king's daughter, the bride of God. Following them were many kinsmen and friends, all with lighted tapers. 15 steps led up to the temple. Joachim and Anna lifted the Virgin onto the first step, and then she ran quickly to the top herself, where she was met by the high priest Zechariah, who was to be the father of St. John the Forerunner. Taking her by the hand, he led her not only into the temple, but into the Holy of Holies. She who was to be the Holy of Holies enters the Holy of Holies, the holiest of holy places, into which no one but the high priest ever entered, and only once a year at that. Zechariah was outside himself and possessed by God when he led the Virgin into the holiest place in the temple, beyond the second curtain. Otherwise, his action could not be explained. The Most Holy Virgin remained in the temple and dwelt there for 9 full years. While her parents were alive, they visited her often. When God called her parents from this world, the Most Holy Virgin was left an orphan and did not wish to leave the temple until her death or to enter into marriage. The Most Holy Virgin Mary was the first of such life-vowed virgins of the thousands and thousands of virgin men and women who would follow her in the Church of Christ. Through the intercessions of the Theotokos, O Christ our God, have mercy on us. Amen. So our salvation, just a couple of months ago in September, when we started our new church year, the first feast we celebrated was the feast of the Nativity of the Theotokos. Thus began our salvation. Now is the next step. The Theotokos, at the age of 3 years old, you parents of young children, can you imagine? And so, you know, let us also honor, as we honor the Theotokos this day, let us also honor Joachim and Anna, who made such a sacrifice in giving their daughter to God from the very beginning. So she enters at 3 years old, and she lives in the temple. She is fed there by manna from heaven by the angels, so tradition tells us. And she is seen as the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, in the old Jewish temple, and even now on our altar we have a tabernacle. She was called the tabernacle because she held God in her womb. And the tabernacle on our altar holds the reserve sacrament, the body and blood of Christ, which the priest uses throughout the year to give to the sick when in need. And she is also called the Ark. And many of the fathers say that she is the new Ark of the Covenant, because in the old Ark rested the tablets of stone on which God wrote the Ten Commandments, the Word of God. And now Mary, when she conceives of the Holy Spirit, bears the Word of God in her. So she becomes the second ark, the ark of the new covenant, if you will. And she is called the Holy of Holies because God dwelt in her, and that was where God dwelt, was in the Holy of Holies. She's called so many other things. There are so many, I don't know, there's thousands of names which refer to the Virgin Mary. We know her in her purity as the ever-virgin, and we know her as the Theotokos, the God-bearer. And in the same way that Mary became the first of all mankind to bear God in her, so likewise, we, through baptism and chrismation, we receive the body and blood. We receive God Himself into us, and we become temples of God. So we, I think it's St. Maximus, I'm not sure, but one of the fathers refers to us as Theotoki, little Theotokos, because we bear God. Let us remember this in our daily life, our repentance, that we bear God. And when we sin, when we do something, and we especially when we enter into it willfully, we take God with us. Just think on that. Fortunately, we are given the grace of confession, in which we can repent and we can turn away from our sin, and we can again enter into the grace and again receive the holy gift and be purified again by God's grace, again and again and again. This is our salvation. This is the Theotokos has open the door for us to be able to be reconciled with God. I also want to say a few words about my dear friend, Father Thomas, reposed in the Lord on Friday. I had the great pleasure of knowing Father Thomas for 45 years, 46 years, something like that. I was a teenager when I met him. And he has always been an example for me and a mentor in a lot of ways. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about him, but I just want to say that in his own way, I know that he tremendously loved the Theotokos. I remember him in confession one time telling me how, you know, I was struggling with purity, and he said to me, you know, sometimes I just sit there and I look at the Theotokos and I just begin weeping because of her beauty and her purity. And so through her intercessions, you know, we can be healed of all of our impurities. But he had a life that glorified God. Maria was telling us yesterday that everyone
All of his clients, every person that, you know, seemed like he ever met, knew that he was a Christian. And it was pointed out that that's because he lived the life of Christ as best he could in this world. He didn't hide it. He lived it. And I remember him as, throughout my life, being an example for me, but just his guilelessness and his simplicity, his joy, his repentance. I know that every day Father Thomas woke up and was thankful for another day in order to repent. And he lived that life. And I am so thankful that for so many years he was my friend and I got to be with him. He now has entered in to the church victorious, and we now have another advocate for us. Pray for us. So, God willing, when we have the funeral service, when we come up for the last kiss, do not hesitate to ask Father Tom to pray for us and for you. Because he is an additional intercessor for us now, as is the Theotokos, who is our primary intercessor. God borrowed flesh from the Theotokos, and so there's this sense of perpetual owing that will never be repaid. But there's this sense that God constantly owes her. So her petitions are very powerful for us. And so we constantly need to remember to let down the walls of our heart and open them to the Theotokos, especially those of us, you know, from an evangelical background. It was the hardest thing in the world, and it still is. I still struggle with it because I don't understand it yet. But I'm trying harder every day to think of the Theotokos and ask her for her intercessions and pray to her. There's two things in the service of Compline I wanted to point out. One is a small prayer that comes from St. Basil, I believe. In thee, O full of grace, all creation, both the company of angels and the race of men, doth rejoice. O hallowed temple and spiritual paradise, boast of virgins, from thee God was incarnate and became a man. He, our God, who existed before the ages, for he made thy womb a throne, and he made thee more spacious than the heavens. That's an interesting image. He made thee the throne of God. And it was mentioned in the back this morning that the dome in the Hagia Sophia is the Theotokos with Christ sitting on her lap or in her womb, I'm not sure, but he is enthroned. So she is the throne of God. And he made thee more spacious than the heavens. God cannot be contained, and yet he was contained in her womb. O full of grace, all creation doth rejoice. Glory be to thee. And then finally, I have this prayer because I've read this so many times, it's kind of become a prayer for me, that in the hour of my departure, to care for my wretched soul and drive far from it the dark countenances of the evil demons. This is a prayer to Theotokos, and that she would receive our soul upon our death. And I pray that she was there for Father Thomas on Friday, and that she can be there for each of us if we continually ask her to be there to help us in the hour of our death and to comfort us and our families. Through the prayers of our holy fathers, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Forgive us.